Puzzles. Puzzles can be really fun, or they can be extremely frustrating. There are all kinds of different puzzles out there. What are your favorite puzzles to do or to work on? Crossword puzzles? Sudoku? Now, I got introduced to that Sudoku puzzles a few years ago when we went to Mazatlan with Don and Carolyn, and they like doing those. I hate them except when I'm traveling now. But I'm on the plane, and I can't help but be doing them and stuff like that. I have them on my phone or on a tablet, and I do them all the time. What other puzzles are out there? Jigsaw puzzles? Crossword puzzles? I hate crossword puzzles. You actually have to think and spell. An IKEA bookshelf. Now, there's a puzzle. And it probably even comes with instructions that nobody can understand. Puzzles. For the sake of this, right now I am talking about jigsaw puzzles. And some people, as you take the box and you dump it out, and they look at those pieces that are poured out on a table, and they have no idea where to even begin or what to make of it. They pick up a piece or two, and nothing seems to work. So they just kind of walk away from it. We actually have one upstairs that the youth and I have been working on for quite a long time, and we haven't worked on it recently. Others, they see crossword puzzles or they see jigsaw puzzles, and they take it as a challenge. Now, each person, when you're looking at a jigsaw puzzle, they have their own strategy for how to go about it. Some people will go in and find all the edge pieces, and you put the edge together first. Others will go and group all the pieces into patterns or colors and try to work patterns and colors together. Some people will go and they'll look for the pieces that have the really odd shapes to them and start fitting them together that way. Part of the enjoyment of doing a crossword puzzle or a jigsaw puzzle or any puzzle for that matter would be solving the challenge and then seeing the final work. So we continue our series in Jesus, the ultimate action hero. Today we're going to talk about a message of tilling up the mind as we begin Mark chapter 4. And in here, Mark, he takes a brief break from the actions of Jesus to focus on his words. See, the actions, they demonstrate what Jesus can do. But his words, they clarify. And they challenge people to understand who he is and what it means to be a disciple. And yet, he speaks those words in puzzles that are called parables. But why? Well, this morning, let's see if we can find out. Our scripture begins at Mark chapter 4, verse 1. And again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and he sat on it out on the lake, while all the other people were along the shore at the water's edge. Now the Greek here, it indicates that this was the largest crowd yet that had ever come. So large so that it forced Jesus not only to have a boat ready to be able to make an escape if he needed to, but to actually have to get into that boat out on the lake. Now being on the water, it would have also created a natural public address system, as the water would have reflected off. His voice would have reflected off of the water as it made its way into shore. And then he taught them many things by parables. And in his teaching said, "Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly, because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times. Then Jesus said, 'Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear.'" First of all, what is a parable? It's likely a fictional story featuring similarities, familiar situations on earth to illustrate spiritual truths. More easily said, it's an earthly story that has a heavenly meaning. Why did Jesus use so many parables? Well, he actually explains it in just a little bit, but first we have this parable of the sower, which is really more about the soil and the seeds than it is about the sower. Notice how Jesus begins here. He says, listen, consider this. All through this section, Jesus will repeat the importance of having a listening ear and a considering heart. When it comes to learning about the ultimate truth and understanding God, the heart must be open to taking it in. And then digesting what it is that God is telling us or what it is that God is trying to say to us. The word listen here is also an imperative. Action on the words is more important than just merely comprehending it. Now, farmers back in those days, they did not plant in neat rows like they do today. They would have walked along and they would have scattered the seed by hand from a pouch that would have been around their shoulder. And no matter how accurate the farmer was, and he intended to be, his tosses, then some of those seeds, they would have fell on the paths next to the fields. Some would have been carried away by the wind and ended up in unplowed edges with the weeds. In areas where there were rocks that would prevent the farmer from being able to plow that particular section. So the farmer, he had to sow liberally and throw a lot of seeds out there. Now the hearers back in Jesus' day, they would have been sitting there nodding their head in familiarity, knowing what Jesus was talking about. But as to what it means, we actually get that straight from Jesus in just a moment. But notice that the crowd that was gathered, they only got the story. It was up to them to ponder and then to ask questions perhaps of Jesus or maybe even of his disciples as to what it meant. And maybe what that story meant to them. See, Jesus, he wants us, each one of us, to be curious, to be probing, to think about it. Now, later on, Jesus explained why he taught in parables, but only to his followers. See, when he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables. He told them, the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you. But to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn to be forgiven. You see, here Jesus is essentially setting up two groups of people. Those on the inside who are the true disciples, and they have this understanding. The secret that he mentioned, it just means the hidden things. See, they have ears to hear. And then there's the others, those that were on the outside. And they reject Jesus. And so to them, the stories are silly. Just as much of the Bible is a mystery to many people even today. Jesus, he gave out his truth in puzzles. But they're not really that hard to solve and to understand if you're just willing to work at them. Now, the scripture that Jesus quotes is from Isaiah chapter 6, verse 9. And Jesus, he is telling his followers that the message will be received just about like the Israelites received it back in Isaiah's time. It fell on deaf ears. Just like it will even now. So did Jesus purposefully hide things from people? No, there's still some debate on that. But it seems likely that Jesus' purpose is merely to affirm the choices that the people have already made. Much like God affirmed Pharaoh's choice to harden his heart by helping him. In the Bible it says that Pharaoh hardens his heart 7 times, and then God hardens his heart. You see, in the end, we will get what we want. If we harden our heart to God, we won't be receptive to it. If we open our hearts, then we are. So let's see if we can explain a little bit of what Jesus meant by the parable. Then Jesus said to them, "Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word." Now, first we need to understand that puzzling out this parable is key to understanding any of the parables. And why is that? Because only a mind that listens and considers the words of Jesus can understand and follow Jesus. The Lord, He wants us to engage in Him. In Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, it says, "Come, let us reason together. Set the plow a little bit deeper. Let your mind really mull over what Jesus says about who He is and why He has come." Now, there are basically four soil conditions that are mentioned here. Jesus uses them to represent the various conditions of the mind that hear the word, which is the gospel. First, there is that along the path. The farmer sows the word. Some people are like the seed along the path, where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Submit that this is the person who has no desire to even consider Jesus. It's just like that along the path. It's well-worn. It's hard. It's impenetrable. Ideas, they cannot reach this person because their shields are up and they're active. They've heard it all before. They've already made up their minds. And this, by the way, would be the default human position. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, begin at verse 3, it says, "And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." You see, for a person who is hard in their hearts, it will be as if they have never, ever heard the gospel. However, they will be accountable to God because the word, it was sown. Now, perhaps later on, that word will take hold. But for right now, it does not. The second one is the seed among the rocks. And others, like seeds sown on rocky places, they hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. In a farmer's field, there are always places where there's these big stones or these big rocks, and they keep the farmer from being able to plow deep enough or even at all. And in this particular case, it refers to a rocky layer which is just beneath the surface. Now, there's enough moisture to allow the seed to germinate, but because there is no depth for the roots to grow, the sun dries up the water quickly and the plant withers. Now, I think this person's heart is much like that of the one who has the hard heart. And the word just kind of bounces off. But in this case, there's this surface acceptance. Like a person who takes on the surface appearance of being a believer, but isn't really. Reminds me of Matthew chapter 7, where Jesus gathers the people before him, and he tells one group who thinks that they've done everything all right, and he tells them to depart because he never knew them. See, you cannot just glue Christianity on the outside of your life. You know, go to church, sing the songs, talk the talk. But not really know Jesus? When they begin to realize that knowing Jesus and belonging to Jesus means that their lives must change, That there's this transformation that must take place, and sometimes it involves some pain and some growth. Then they just walk away from it all. Categorize these as make-believers. That's also why a quick emotional decision to follow Jesus is not always the best idea, and it needs to be followed up with some decision and some discipleship. Then there is the seed among the weeds. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word. But the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desire for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. You see, the weeds, they rob the newly germinated seeds of moisture, sunlight, and the nutrients that are found in the soil that will allow their roots to grow. Weeds, in this case, they represent the allure of this age, the weight of living in a fallen world. While rocky people look forward to the difficulties of the transformation, don't want anything to do with it. The weedy people, they look back a lot like Lot's wife did. See, they're not willing to completely break free from the hold that the age has on them. Notice it isn't just the good things either. Some people would rather stay in their decrepit condition, this captivity to sin, rather than to release themselves to another Lord, to Jesus Christ. See, we must confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord. And bearing fruit, it means that we have placed our lives firmly on Jesus. See, that's what faith means. And finally, there is the seeds that go in the good soil. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop. Some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown. Now, given the right conditions of sun, moisture, and nutrients, a seed will germinate and it will grow, yielding a crop. If you listen and you consider Jesus, and you begin to understand that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and you place yourself firmly in his hands, then the gospel will bear fruit in your life. You will have this new life, and that new life will take hold and it will grow. Notice how it grows more in some than it does in others. I think that, frankly, some are more embracing of this new life because the change is a little more dramatic. They grow more, if you will. It doesn't mean that the farmer comes along and rips out the plants that aren't producing a bumper crop. It just means we aren't all the same. We have different contacts, we have different abilities, we have different things we do. But as long as we're all producing a fruit, which is the natural result of having a true relationship with Jesus. Now, the obvious question out of all of this is, what is the condition of the soil in your mind? See, that applies whether you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you're a believer, or whether you're not. Is your mind already made up about so much that you have no room for anything else to challenge you? Do you listen to God's word, but only take it until it actually affects your life and causes you to change, and then you have to abandon it? Are you so in love with the world and even the miserable parts of the world that you don't let yourself depend on Jesus Christ? That you're not willing to let go of the things of this age? You cling on tightly to them? Good soil of the mind, it is easily tilled. Those good seeds of thinking like God's kingdom, they need time, warmth, moisture, and nutrients to grow. We don't live off of the seed that is thrown. but what it produces in our minds. You know, the transformation, this renewing that occurs by the work of the Holy Spirit. Know this, there is seed that is being sown into your lives, each and every one of you. The gospel, it's out there. And you will hear about it. If not in here, which you will hear about it out there. Jesus is the Lord of the universe. And he died in your place so that you could have everlasting life and you could have a relationship with God the Father who loves you so very much. Are you willing to till up your mind, to listen, to consider? Now remember, in a puzzle, you cannot see what that finished picture looks like unless you're willing to work on the individual pieces. Jesus, he may not be all that easy to understand at times, but I can guarantee he is definitely worth the effort. He wants us to be invested in a relationship with him. Are you willing to work at it? You willing to work at the pieces and at the puzzle?